afternoon and welcome to the only show you need to get you through your Monday. To get you through this crisis in a world where few things are reliable, we are reliable. You're listening to the Jason Rance Show on AM 770 KTTH, streaming on the KTTH smartphone app. If you don't have it, you should download it immediately. We got a lot to get to. We only have an hour left to do it. We're going to take you truly inside the two shootings that happened over the weekend at CHOP, one leaving a 19-year-old dead and another leaving a 17-year-old with a shooting wound to the arm. But he, of course, isn't talking. And we've got the inside scoop, the audio from the scene explaining exactly why that likely is. Plus, joining us at the bottom of the hour, 5:30, Mike Solon. He is the president of the Seattle Police Officers Guild. They don't know what to do at this point because the city is not leading on this, and they understand the lives that are on the line every single day that the mayor doesn't allow the police to do what it is they need to do. So you're not going to want to miss that. This hour of the Jason Rance Show is brought to you by You Build It. There's a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending at home?
So all in, three people have been shot at the CHOP over the course of just the last 48 hours. Since early Saturday morning, you have three people shot, one dead. And this isn't the time to say we told you that this would happen. This is not a I told you so moment. And I hope no one out there is doing that. Because right now it's the time to tell the city you need to take this seriously enough that you're finally going to shut it down and you're going to reopen that East Precinct. Because this cannot continue. We cannot see any more violence. And unless they get involved, unless this mayor takes it seriously, not bringing de-escalators into the situation, but flatly returning the precinct back to the police officers, unless you do that, this is just going to continue. And anything less is giving into gangs. Anything less is giving into militant Antifa and other bad elements that are taking the area over. Now, this first gun battle, we talked about it earlier on in the show, but it happened Saturday morning around 2:20 a.m. And it happened after some kind of fight broke out. And unfortunately, it ended with someone or someones, I guess, using guns to settle this fight. A 33-year-old remains in the hospital with serious injuries. And a 19-year-old black male is dead. Lorenzo Anderson is his name. That's how he's being identified, though not officially by the city. This is a teenager who had everything in front of him completely taken away because CHOP is an area of total lawlessness. And we told you that this was coming for so long. Maybe now someone will take it seriously at the city. Because when you know the cops are not going to show up, when you know the cops aren't there, it makes it really, really, really easy to justify breaking the law. And if you're already someone who's on the wrong path, and you are carrying, and you think that that's the appropriate way to settle whatever dispute you're having, you can very easily justify pulling out that weapon, killing someone, because what are the consequences? You know, no one at CHOP is going to say anything. You know, the police aren't going to be able to come in, certainly not within a reasonable amount of time. So you're able to get away. Now, we're not 100% sure what happened because cops aren't able to investigate as they normally would. In fact, they weren't allowed entry into this zone. Some people are saying, oh, no, they could have just done. No, they couldn't. We played the audio in the first hour of the show. We know exactly what was going on, and they weren't able to get in there. We've got folks like Shama Sawant, socialist Seattle City Council member and leaders behind Black Lives Matter, Seattle, King County. They have been baselessly blaming white supremacists and right-wingers and Donald Trump for all of what's going on. In fact, on Facebook, Black Lives Matter wrote, "We know that these actions are not out of the blue. They are in part the result of the president, lawmakers, hate groups, and the media demanding that those gathering in CHOP be met with violence." No one is demanding anyone in CHOP be met with violence. What we're saying is the police have to be able to take over. Now, if you're saying, inherently saying cops should go in and take back their precinct is violence, well, then you don't know what it is you're talking about, and you're completely misusing the term. They go on to say, though we do not have details about the shooter, we are highly concerned about the presence of white supremacist violence and want black people in our greater community to be safe. Everyone wants everyone to be safe. White supremacists were not there this weekend committing these acts of violence. Now, Shama Sawant basically made similar remarks in a statement that's available on our parent website, MyNorthWest.com, and in my blog earlier today at KTTH.com. She, of course, had to walk them back when the Seattle Times pushed. But she's walking them back. She's walking these ridiculous statements back because video surfaced showing a fight about 2 minutes before the gunfire actually erupted. And let me tell you, it wasn't a white supremacist who was involved in the fighting. Now, the way that I've explained CHOP, and I think it's the most accurate way we can describe it, is it's peaceful until it's not. It's peaceful until it's not. And there are many times where it's not peaceful. In fact, it seems just like that, it goes from peaceful to violent. In fact, one dude, his name is Jake Scheel. He was down there, he was streaming on Facebook Live. And it's a perfect example of how things are peaceful until it's not. Now, Jake is white, and he said he had to cover up his whole face because he didn't want to be targeted. Now, on the surface, of course, that should mean it's not peaceful if you're going to be targeted for being, as he says, a white boy in the area. That means it's not peaceful. Now, maybe he's overreacting. Let's listen to him as he narrates at least the what he believes to be the tail end of some kind of fight that took place right before the gunshots. He was there with his dog, Dolly.
Look, it's being resolved peacefully.
Peacefully.
Peacefully. Peacefully. No one's going to jail.
Huh.
It's being resolved peacefully.
Being resolved peacefully. Okay,
so
now what?
There's nothing to be afraid of down here at the CHOP.
Nothing to be afraid of. Uh-oh. What's going on? Nothing to be afraid of.
Man, I gotta get Dolly in the car. It's too... It's getting a little wild down here now.
It's getting a little wild. Literally, 3 seconds ago, you said it was being handled peacefully. It's totally safe to be in CHOP. It's totally safe. It's totally peaceful. In the same breath you're saying it's peaceful, you're also saying you have to leave, put your dog away, because it's getting a little bit too crazy. Now, okay, maybe it just... potentially got crazy for a few seconds. Fine. So he leaves a little bit. He leaves the part of the fight. He goes to his car that's parked about a block away. He puts his dog into the car. And then about 3 or so minutes go by and he says this.
It's getting heated down here.
It's getting heated.
I saw a brother pull out a 12-inch blade out of his backpack.
A 12-inch blade out of his backpack. You just said that it was peaceful. It's not dangerous to CHOP. It's not dangerous to CHOP at all.
It's like, no way, I'm a white boy. I'm staying out of there. So I'm covering up my shit. Give me a second. I'm covering my whole shit up. I don't want to know that there's a white boy down here.
Why?
They're going to think about stabbing.
Why would they stab you for being white in peaceful CHOP?
You're crazy.
Huh.
It's all happening right down there.
He's pointing again to that fight that we believe happened right before the gunshots. Meaning it was tied directly to the gunshots. We know that the fight was right before the gunshots because this dude was there when the gunshots erupted, and he was right. It was crazy.
I'm keeping covered up. It's getting too much liquor in the system right now, I think. They partied way too hard. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning, and
about
now 2:20. Emotions are running high. I mean... oh, there's people scattering now. I don't know what's going on. What's happening?
You just said it was completely peaceful. You just said there was nothing to worry about. You just said that it was all being settled amicably, and then just moments later, minutes later, Lorenzo was dead, shot to death. And I suppose Black Lives Matter, Seattle, King County, or Shama Sawant can blame white supremacists or Donald Trump or right-wingers all you want. You can go ahead and do that. But the folks on the ground said something completely different. In fact, first, CHOP security, we put that in air quotes because they're not very good at security, and they're just amateurs who have guns who think that they're doing something meaningful in their security, but they're not. They put out a statement to Como TV over the weekend, said that the two individuals who got into the fight kind of knew each other from gang affiliations. We don't know if that's true, but Rooks is an organizer of CHOP. We played audio from him over the course of the last week or so. He was there during the shooting, and he told Q13 what actually happened.
He was trying to save everybody by telling, the people to keep the fireworks away from the trees. An altercation arose from that.
They were fighting over fireworks. Fireworks, by the way, that some folks on the left are now spreading a conspiracy is being provided by the government for some reason. Not entirely sure we know why they would be doing that. But he just said that this all started over a fight over fireworks. And it sounds like Lorenzo was there to say, whoa, 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 let's not do the fireworks right by the trees. That doesn't seem safe. Maybe alcohol was involved, like Jake Shiel says. I have no clue. Unfortunately, right now, there's a lot we just don't know because SPD isn't able to do their normal investigation. Now, everything we played, it certainly seems to paint a picture, but we can't say for certain. We're not experts at this. We're not investigators. The people who are the experts, they're not getting anywhere. Because so many people who are there not actually wanting to speak to the cops. But this, we can say pretty confidently, was not something that right-wingers caused or white supremacists. A narrative that's being pushed for a very specific reason. The same reason why they pretended that CHOP wasn't violent to begin with. They want it to work, so they will lie to you. They want it in their heart to work, so they will purposefully put on blinders. Because anyone who gets in the way and says that it's not quite safe means they're going to have to change things up. And they don't want to change anything. They want so desperately this commune of social justice, this, as it was the New York Times said, the homeland of social justice, this utopia, they want it to work. And they know it's not working, but they won't admit it. In fact, I would argue lying this whole time about how quote-unquote safe and peaceful it was and only Fox News was lying. By doing that the whole time, they helped create an environment where a 19-year-old is now dead. This is on CHOP. This, of course, is on the shooter more. Someone decided to pull that trigger, and they are ultimately responsible. But you know what? Some of the responsibility of what's going on right now lays at the feet of CHOP. A situation that's been made worse by Mayor Jenny Durkin, who's letting this go on. Summer of love, she says, before having to walk it back. This is not a summer of love. Certainly not for Lorenzo's family. Q13 spoke with Stacy, who says she is Lorenzo's grandmother.
That was a baby. He deserved to sit up here and still be breathing today.
Me.
You guys let a black life go. In your so-called Black Lives Matters protests on the street. Come on now.
Come on now. The godmother of Lorenzo says, this is happening under your watch. And you were so confident about how safe and peaceful it was. What happened? It wasn't safe or peaceful last week and last weekend when I witnessed all the fights that we saw. It is peaceful until it is not. But some folks who want the idea of this to stand strong want you to pretend it's always peaceful. And the only people out there causing problems, they're all outside instigators, white supremacists. No, they're not. They're not. We saw another gun battle last night. It left a 17-year-old kid shot in the arm. Happened around 11:30 p.m. Sean Whitting was there live streaming.
Yeah, I can walk up there. I do see some, more shots fired. I'm running away.
So many shots, it almost sounded like it was fireworks, and maybe it was a mix of both. We do know that someone got shot in the arm, a teen, 17 years old. And guess what? The Seattle Times says he declined to speak with detectives. I wonder what that's about. I wonder why that is. In fact, if you want to wonder why any of these folks don't want to cooperate with cops, it's not just about thinking cops are the enemy. It's because I think they don't want to turn on each other. And what's going on right now in CHOP, there are bad people there. And it wouldn't surprise me if we end up learning that some of the quote-unquote security that is clearly not trained. We've seen video of people just handing out semi-automatic weapons. Hey, you're 18? Here's a gun. Something tells me we're going to find out a lot of this violence was caused by the very security members there, in air quotes, who are there to protect people from violence. Here's more from Sean. Because you see, he was videotaping and CHOP activists found him recording. And they stole his phone, but they didn't realize that it was still streaming the entire time.
Yeah, phone. What
the
fuck are you doing,
dog? I'm with these guys, man.
Whoa, no. You get back.
Okay. You get back.
Hey, delete that.
You get back.
Delete it.
That.
Is that your personal number? That's my phone.
No, it ain't yours. You said you was with them. Is he with you?
Yes, I'm filming
for the job. Is he with you? You ain't getting your phone back. You're not getting your phone back until I know you with Jen. I do not care.
He doesn't care. You're not going to get that phone back until everything is deleted. And by the way, I said it was presented by Sean. You heard there. Maybe it's some dude named James Madison. It's unclear. But that happened last night. And this is not the first time that we've seen activists there on video demanding footage get deleted. Why do you think they want to delete that footage? To protect white supremacists? To protect the Trump supporters? Is that what they're doing? Or maybe they're acting out illegally and violently. And this might show that they are. I suppose they could say, look, we want to prove to the world that we can self-police, that we can do our own investigations. How's that working out? Cops and medics weren't able to go into that zone. On Friday, as Lorenzo was laying there dying, cops were heckled. It's unsafe for them to go in. Instead, the CHOP medics, who pretend to know what the heck it is that they're doing, probably made Lorenzo's situation worse. Do you have any clue who these medics are? Do you know what their training is? I don't. Now, of course, Jenny Durkin doesn't want to lead on this. Over the weekend, she ignored media requests. She spoke a little bit today with her quote-unquote plan. She put out a useless statement saying that she's working with de-escalators. Yeah, de-escalation. That's going to work here. That's going to work. And CHOP organizers, some of them, remember, there is a bunch of organizations there, a bunch of quote-unquote leaders. There's not one singular leader. But some organizers, some voices put out a statement saying, hey, we propose a curfew of 8 p.m. because we understand that things get much worse at night. And now they're telling people that we've been talking about on the show, that I've been talking about on Tucker Carlson for a while now. We were told we were making it up, that there are a lot of people there who are drunk or high. Well, now they're saying, oh, well, maybe it is getting out of control. Maybe the alcohol and the drugs and the partying is in fact getting out of control. And maybe that's contributing to some of this violence. Maybe it is. Maybe it is. This is absolutely unreal, and this is untenable. This has to end. This has to end. And if the city's not willing to do it, if the city's not willing to step up, well, then maybe the federal government gets involved. Because Mario Bartiromo over at Fox Business was talking with the Attorney General, Bill Barr, yesterday about what's going on at CHOP.
Well, they took over an area in Seattle and they're guarding it with guns. Mm-hmm. They tried to do it in Portland as well. Does the federal government have a responsibility to protect citizens of our country if the cities and states won't do it? Because people's property have been damaged. There are people who don't want this autonomous area in Seattle around their homes.
Right. Well, in the first instance, it's the responsibility, obviously, of the local officials and then the state officials to protect the rights of their citizens.
They won't.
At the end of the day, the federal government does have a responsibility to make sure that citizens are not deprived of their federal rights.
So will you challenge that autonomous city? Will you sue the mayor? What can you do?
Well, I don't want to get into specifics, but we're obviously keeping an eye on it. And as the president said, in due course, we may have to do something about it, but we can't let it go on indefinitely.
Well, what exactly is going to be done? Because right now it's been going on for 2 weeks. This is a law and order presidency. What is being done? Because over the weekend, President Trump kind of made a joke about it. I understand where he's coming from. And I understand maybe the inclination to just let this fail on its own and not get involved. But is that the prudent thing to do?
But how about Seattle? Is that good? So they take over a big chunk of a city called Seattle. I mean, we're not talking about some little place. We're talking about Seattle. Have you ever been to Seattle? They took over a big chunk, and the governor, who's radical left, all of these places I talk about are Democrat. You know that. Every one of them. Every one of them. And I have an offer out. I said, anytime you want, we'll come in, we'll straighten it out in 1 hour or less. Now, I may be wrong, but it's probably better for us to just watch that disaster.
It's not. It's not. I get it. I do. I get it, man. This really is the epitome of what's wrong with far, far, far to the left governance. It is. And to show how it fails makes sense to me. Like, I understand where he's coming from. But a 19-year-old was killed. A 19-year-old. A 33-year-old was shot and is in critical condition. A 17-year-old was shot in the arm. Now, a 17 and a 19-year-old who gets caught up in this stuff, I understand why. Who was smart when we were 17 or 19 years old? We get caught up in stupid stuff, maybe not to this level, but you know what? That 19-year-old who made a mistake and decided to show up there, and it sounds like, again, he was trying to keep people safe by saying no to the fireworks, he's now dead. Because the city is deciding to sit this one out and not really get involved because Mayor Jenny Durkin is terrified that she's going to get a challenger in the race far to the left who's going to use what's going on at CHOP against her to kick her out of office. And you know what? That's going to happen regardless of anything that she does here. She can try to placate these protesters all she wants. She's going to get a challenger. And not a single person who shows up to CHOP and likes this and thinks it's a great idea is ever going to vote for her. You can give CHOP all the land that they wanted. You could abolish all the police. You can give them the state of Washington. And they're not going to vote for Jenny Durkin. So what exactly is the political strategy? Because right now there's no public safety strategy. How do I know that? Because someone just got shot and killed. And two others are shot. That's how I know. Police need to be able to do their job. And with that in mind, when we come back, we're going to talk with Mike Solon. He is the president of the Seattle Police Officers Guild, because he's at a point where he doesn't know what else to do other than ask the public to get more involved. We'll talk with him when we come back on the Jason Rand Show. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. Three gun victims over the weekend inside CHOP. One was a 19-year-old who no longer has his life because we've decided to allow utter lawlessness on the streets of Seattle, or at least on CHOP and Capitol Hill. Joining me with his reaction is Officer Mike Solon, president of the Seattle Police Officers Guild. Mike, welcome back to the show. This is obviously not something that you wanted to have to deal with today because it involves three people dealing with gunshot wounds. When you heard the news, were you surprised at all?
No, and sadly, I predicted this would happen, which is unfortunate, and we don't want any of that to occur in anywhere in the city. And unfortunately, now it's escalated to people losing their lives, and I don't know what this means moving forward. I don't want any more people getting hurt. And this is a direct result of public elected officials who have failed to have critical decisions on behalf of enforcing the rule of law. This is what we're met with now. And I feel sorry for our community in general. And, what is the end game here? Because this is out of control.
Have you had any contact with the mayor or any of the council members on this?
Had a conversation with the mayor's office, and we're supposed to join in a stakeholder meeting tonight, which is great. I'm glad that we're back in the conversation here, and I'm appreciative of that. My number one concern is just the safety of the community at large in that area. And then, are the officers being inserted into an area that puts their safety at grave risk? As we saw in the body cam footage that released from Saturday morning, it's absolutely a really dangerous situation, and we're being prevented to insert ourselves to render first aid and to provide safety for the fire personnel to go in there to render first aid as well. So very, very tenuous situation, to say the least.
Well, I want to read to you just a part of a statement that Seattle City Councilmember Lisa Herbold gave to the Seattle Times on the fact that officers were not able to get into CHOP, because we've heard some activists claim that police officers were not, in fact, kept from getting inside, even though I think the body cam footage speaks for itself. But she rejected, quote, the narrative that the mood of the crowd prevented the SPD from reaching the victims. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I think the video speaks for itself, and that's why I'm calling on city officials as well to release the body cam footage and the closed circuit television footage from the East Precinct on those nights where the fight for control of the East Precinct was being played out night in and night out. Well, it will turn back the council's claim that this was police invoked violence. But that's completely opposite. I bet you that body camera footage and the closed circuit television footage will show that those criminal agitators were assaulting the police officers who were following chain of command orders to hold the line. And so body cam footage will show, as it did on Saturday morning, how dangerous the situation was and is, not just for police, the fire department personnel, but the community at large.
Yeah. Who's making the decision, though, to withhold that body cam footage? Because obviously it was a very quick turnaround.
That's a great question.
So who do you – is it coming from the mayor's office?
Well, clearly we can't release it. So somebody is in control of it. And if the department is confident to release the body cam footage, which I think was the right move for Saturday morning, mm-hmm. which paints the picture of the lawlessness that's going on there, the dangerous working conditions for the people that are being told to go in to fulfill their oath of service, to render aid that are legally obligated to, why not release the body cam footage and the closed circuit television footage of the battle for the East Precinct? You can't have it both ways, especially if elected officials are blaming the police for inciting the violence, which is a false narrative.
It's totally a false narrative, but it's a narrative that caught a lot of momentum. And even folks like myself, when I'm doing Tucker Carlson hits and I talk about how it's peaceful until it's not peaceful, and we're getting a lot of those not peaceful moments happening almost every single day. And then, of course, the penultimate non-peacefulness of what happened was a series of shootings over the weekend. We're told that we're making it up, that we're completely lying. And it seems like some folks are purposely putting on blinders because of what they want CHOP to become. But whatever they want CHOP to become, it's not a reality.
Well, what we clearly understand is CHOP is now not the summer of love. It's the summer of chaos and lawlessness being played out. And the reality is what we're all being met with: violence in Capitol Hill. And the police aren't responsible for that. We're asked to conduct a service, which we professionally do to this city day in and day out. The bottom line is this falls at the feet of a certain council member. This is her district.
You're talking about Shama Sawant.
Well, I'm not going to name names, Jason. I'm more professional about with as far as
well, it is her district
as a police officer for this. Yes, it is her district. That is correct. And so now these political decisions are strictly at the feet of our elected of local officials, not the fine men and women who swore an oath of service to protect everybody. But now we're looking at response times across the East Precinct, and now I think are impacting citywide response. These types of decisions have a trickle-down effect. Now we're seeing violence besiege that whole area. And I don't know what the end game solution is. I'm looking forward to future conversations as being a stakeholder to try to figure this thing out.
Officer Mike Solon is the president of the Seattle Police Officers Guild. This is the union that represents the Seattle PD. As we have decided as a city, the mayor has decided to essentially give up the East Precinct. We're doing this interview, recording it before the 4 o'clock press briefing, just because of our schedule to get this to happen. So obviously tomorrow we'll have a breakdown of everything that the mayor said. What do you make of the idea that these folks who are the victims, like the 17-year-old who was shot in the arm, is not cooperating with the detectives? What do you make of that? What should we make of that?
Well, I mean, I think the reality is that there is senseless violence in our community. And it not just visits Capitol Hill, it's everywhere. And what needs to be brought up, and I think the conversation you and I are having, as well as the multiple media platforms we've been on, is we're trying to inform our broad Seattle populace of what's really occurring within this CHOP area. And we've seen multiple Twitter, and last night there's footage of the breakdown post-shooting of people being robbed and trying to control the narrative out of there, because it is lawlessness. And sweeping this under the rug, not calling it for what it is, I think does us more harm as a community than good. This is political pandering at its best, and got everybody being impacted by it.
And what's especially disappointing is that there have been outside from the peaceful elements within the Black Lives Matter movement and some of the protests there, there have been some really good ideas, I think, on safer policing, both for officers and for the public. This idea of a social worker who would be embedded within the department, I think there's a lot of wrinkles that need to be ironed out. But on the surface, on paper, it's one of those things that I think is completely worth exploring. And it feels like that doesn't have much momentum because everyone needs to be focused on the lawlessness of CHOP.
That's right. And that's a sad result. I mean, I'm all for and I'm encouraging robust conversations with our community regarding race relations, policing, but society's issues overall. And how can we improve? How can we adapt? How can we change our 911 response if need be regarding policing? I'm all for those conversations, and they need to be had for us to be taken seriously to earn respect and the confidence of our community. We more than definitely have to participate in those discussions. But now, sadly, just like those criminal agitators stole the peaceful protest message for justice for George Floyd, they're now holding our reasonable community in Seattle hostage with all the senseless violence that's plaguing the CHOP area. So again, we're pandering to a small group of people who are moving the political public safety discourse in this city at the detriment of the broad Seattle community. It's unacceptable.
It is unacceptable, but you know what? The people have to actually speak up and they have to take a stand, because unless there's louder voices coming from the community to drown out some of the fringe voices from CHOP who want to continue this experiment, nothing's going to change, because this is a mayor who doesn't have the political willpower to actually stand up for what's right. So that means folks out there who are actually listening need to speak up. We got to give you the last word.
Well, clearly this experiment is failing miserably, and people are dying. There's robberies, there's assaults, there's attempted rapes. Just the other day, our fine membership officers arrested a suspect who had taken advantage of a deaf-mute female.
Yeah.
And so the people need to understand this is what will happen when law and order is not enforced. And failed experiments such as this lies at the doorstep of the council member whose district this is being touted under and supported by.
Yeah. Officer Mike Solon, president of the Seattle Police Officers Guild, thank you so much for stopping by. Appreciate it as always.
Thank you, Jason.
Absolutely. You're listening to Jason Rancho. When we come back, we're going to take a deeper dive into what's going on in CHOP and why it needs to end right here on KTTH. Welcome back to the Jason Rancho. I really do appreciate you tuning in on this Monday afternoon. The question I have, and I've had throughout the weekend, I had all throughout today's show, is whether or not the president is going to get involved in CHOP. At what point does this administration say, you know what, we're running as a law and order president, we're running as a law and order first president? We're actually going to ensure that the people who are victims here in the Seattle area, victims of a laissez-faire approach from the city, will be victims no more. In the first segment of this hour, we played the audio of Bill Barr saying he was going to step up if need be, but they're paying attention. Well, what more needs to happen here? I don't need the federal government to come in and start making mass arrests, but I do need them to pay a little bit more closely attention to what's going on. Because as Dan Bongino says, former police officer and Secret Service agent on Fox News, at some point you're going to have to make some arrests, and it doesn't seem like the SPD is going to be allowed to do it.
I think it's only a matter of time before the President of the United States has the FBI go in there and start pulling people out there guilty of crimes. I mean, someone's got to come out of there in handcuffs. Somebody who committed a crime has to come out of there in handcuffs just to send a message. I mean, Steve, listen, this isn't a joke, you know. I know we all know this on the panel, but I was a cop for a long time, and when you know all this stuff about, oh, just let it burn out. No, don't let anything burn out. This This is America, okay? This is America. I don't care. Seattle is still in the United States for those who have a geography problem. These people are entitled to the dignity of American citizens and the big R God-given rights we all have.
Yep.
Something's got to be done. This isn't a joke. You show up to a crime scene when you're a cop and you see some mother crying because her son was stabbed, her daughter was stabbed and is dying there on the ground. It changes you forever. It's not a joke. It's not a comic book. It's not a movie. It's the real world. These are real people.
These are real people. Now, what's interesting just from a local perspective is it's a joke until it's not. The same way I say it's peaceful until it's not peaceful. Well, it's a joke until it's not a joke. And yes, you have some fights breaking out, but then you have the conversation cafe where a bunch of white people get together and talk about how racist they actually are and they're going to change things. With all due respect, as much as I think they're well-intentioned, that is meant for parody. They're building itself for a parody. You have someone who's now walking around, who was over the weekend walking around, who was just naked, because CHOP is not just about Black Lives Mattering. It's not just about police brutality. Now it's just brought to the area every crazy belief. And this is one of those dudes who's all like, no one should feel ashamed of their body. And so he's just wandering around naked.
Just to give you guys an update on what's been going on, dude over here is naked. We've tried to come out here and de-escalate for about the past 15 minutes. And we probably are going to have to remove him, which is probably going to bring, like, way more cameras. So just so you guys know.
So, and by the way, you know who he's talking to? James Donaldson, former supersonic player, who decided to show up. And I imagine he stuck out there because isn't he like 6'6"? He's a big dude. And he's there and he's trying to get a sense of what's happening in his hometown, in his Seattle. And this is what happens.
What's going on for real? He's refusing.
Oh, yeah.
As a side note, this is the same dude who hopped on the mic, took a strong black man's microphone while he was in the middle of a powerful speech and wanted to talk about how all lives matter. So understand that this dude's on his second strike. And I think being naked is kind of two strikes in one. So we kind of...
Oh, is it two strikes in one? How does the system work exactly? Security officer, how exactly does the system work? Where are the rules posted? And it would appear that your de-escalation isn't actually working here, is it?
We're going to need to remove them for the day. I don't give a... Our thing is we need to remove people for the day. We don't care if people come back the next day. Give them a room to retry, refigure it out and come back. But if people aren't willing to not...
We understand that there are people out here. We understand that we are out here and also other people's living situations.
I hear you.
We have kids out here.
We have kids. We have families. Like, this is not what it's about.
That's right.
We just need to give people the time and space to heal.
Just give them the time and space to heal, but not naked. If you're naked, you don't get the time and space to heal, I guess. Remember, not only is this happening right in the middle of Cal Anderson Park, it's happening right in the middle of a neighborhood where people live and try to work. And it's not been easy for them to do that.
Wow. That's it. Okay.
Anyways, you know, we have to do that because everybody's streaming. You know how it is.
Good to see
you. You don't know who James is? Come on. Sonic.
It's a black stolen bike. What's that?
Nice.
It's a Bike Friday.
Thank you for recording this. I appreciate it. I'm just trying to let everybody know
here's the naked dude.
We should be in shape of our bodies. And we should be comfortable in our skin.
And that's not
As a person, I choose to do this.
But I don't want to see
to amplify everybody else's rights.
But what's interesting there is this guy, who, by the way, is not a white dude. I believe he's Latino. He's coming out there and saying, look, this is what I believe. Shouldn't he have the right to do what he wants to in this free zone of CHOP? He's doing it in the name of activism that he feels is appropriate. But then you hear some of the people, no, sorry, can't do it. We don't want that. People don't want to see that. But if, God forbid, someone were to step up and say, we don't want to see the East Precinct be completely abandoned and taken over by folks who don't necessarily have the best interests of the community in mind, those folks are shunned. But see, if you offend the people who run CHOP, I guess you have to pay the price.
And beliefs.
But that's not what you're doing.
But now that you understand,
you're making it about...
That's not what you're doing.
No, not just myself. Because
now, I'm pretty sure I saw a video of that guy. It doesn't translate well to TV, or excuse me, to radio. It's better on TV. I'm pretty sure they put him in a blanket, and then they just carried him out of the park and just kind of... didn't throw him per se, but kind of just laid him down, I guess, in the blanket outside. I saw a video of that sent to me by someone who was there. So yeah, something like that is to be parodied. Something like that is made for parody. But then there are times in which, you know, it's a combination of concern, but also parody. Like when someone passes out and you don't know why, it's possible due to it was kind of warm over the weekend. Maybe dehydration had to do with it, or maybe he was or she was dealing with an overdose potentially, or alcohol, which whatever it was. And someone is just laying there. And it just, this is not how, you're supposed to call 911 and have it handled, but instead we rely on the quote unquote medics.
Create a space for me. This dude needs space.
Getting back up?
I am the guardian, homie.
All you're doing is talking loud.
That's Harzong,
Jesus. I'm Harzong.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody.
That's Harzong the guardian. Harzong the guardian. She is there to protect this person who's laying on the ground. Dealing with some sort of trauma, we're not sure what, but Harzong the Guardian is there, and she's got his back.
Back up.
Can you go get me a medic, please? I have no idea.
So what exactly is Harzong the Guardian there for? Just to stand there until the medic gets there? No one called the medic until she asked for it?
No! I'm trying to get her right here.
Now they're literally just yelling. I mean, is that how it works? I guess when you don't have a number to call, like 911, you just start to shout. Medic! Medic! Can we get a medic over here? Harzong the Guardian is in need.
Medic! Can you not touch him, please? Because I don't know what's wrong. That's why I wanted to know. Are you the medic?
I'm a medic.
Beautiful. That's what we need. Can you help us?
Oh, the medic is there.
I got you.
Oh, Harzong the Guardian's now covering up for the medic. We got you, medic. Is this safe? I mean, think about that for a moment. Yes, it's kind of funny when someone named Harzong the Guardian steps up, but is this safe? Is this a situation we want in Seattle? It's absolutely insane. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I really do appreciate it. I was on Tucker Carlson today. If you want to check it out, head on over to our Facebook page or the Twitter feed, and you can see the video, twitter.com/JasonRants. Don't forget to give me a like, a follow, or facebook.com/JasonRants Show. Coming up next, Ben Shapiro right here on KTTH.